This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave doesn't have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A teacher's power. The promise in the letter, in the prophecies of Jeremiah, is an interesting one. In that verse 34 of that reading, it says, God speaks through Jeremiah, it says, "No longer shall they teach one another." No more teachers. No more books. No more teachers. But where would the world be without teachers? Have you ever had a really good teacher? Maybe it was someone in school like who carried that title, who was a teacher, and was extra made an extra impact on your life. Maybe it was a parent or a family friend, an older role model, someone who you look to as a teacher. As a way of being. Can you think of a teacher who made an impact on your life? If you can think of that teacher, I want you to say their name out on the count of three. One, two, three. Angela. These teachers have power in our lives. Teachers can teach us wonderful things. They can teach us to believe in ourselves. They can teach us the intricacies of a fascinating subject. They can teach us that we have value and are important and are smart or wonderful or creative. Teachers can have enormous power in our lives. Martin Luther had a teacher. He didn't just come to be holy of himself. There were people that guided his life along the way. One of those most influential teachers in his life was a man, Johann von Staupitz. Von Staupitz was his teacher. He was also his confessor. Martin Luther would go to him as an elder in the faith, as a functionary of the Roman Church. And Martin Luther would confess his sins to von Staupitz in a practice that we still have access to today, in that confession of sins and receiving those words of forgiveness. And Martin Luther would go and confess his sins to Staupitz, would confess a lot. And he, as Trey said, was a man who lived in fear of what would happen if his deeds didn't measure up. In fear of the afterlife, in fear of eternal damnation, in fear of not measuring up. And so he engaged in his faith, and he would come to confession regularly, and he would spend hours there, sometimes as many as 6 hours in confession. Von Staupitz would write that he would spend 6 hours in confession and never actually confess anything all that interesting. One time, in that time of confession, von Staupitz would tell Luther, "Let go of your guilt and love God." Luther would respond, "Love God? I hate God." See, Staupitz wasn't Luther's only teacher. And I think this is the promise there of Jeremiah. When the teachers no longer shall teach, then the things that are taught will no longer be passed down. I saw a cartoon this last week of an old man yelling at a middle-aged man who was yelling at a younger adolescent man. The old man was yelling at this middle-aged man who had a family resemblance, "You're useless." And then the middle-aged man was yelling to the adolescent man, "You'll never measure up." The good things are not the only things that are taught. Can you think of a teacher who was not so good in your life? Can you think of someone who taught you how not to be? Someone who tore you down or belittled you or made you doubt your capacities? I can think of one. More than one. Maybe you can too. No, we need not whisper their names here in the sanctuary and give them any more power than they already had. We can acknowledge that those teachers have power in our lives too. Sometimes those teachers continue the cycles of trauma that they experienced in their lives, like this cartoon of family trauma getting passed down from grandfather to father to child. The lessons that get passed down sort of accumulate, like barnacles attaching on as more and more junk just sort of grabs on. And by the time we get to the teaching that we're experiencing, we're getting layer upon layer of all the negative stuff that came along with it. This is what Luther experienced as well. The Roman church didn't start out as a place that was asking people for money, not asking, but threatening their lives in purgatory unless they would pay for those indulgences. It started out as followers of Christ. It started out with Peter and Paul and disciples spreading out across the Mediterranean region and around the world, bringing the good news of Jesus to people and cultures far and wide. But over the years, as the church became a power of the empire, the church began to know what it was like to hold power and to wield power in a global way. These teachings, these human teachings and human failings started accretioning on, layering on, one after another, until the church got to a place where it was in Martin Luther's day, where it had lost sight of the promise and believed in a false idol, the idol of itself. Believe that they alone had the power to forgive sins, to proclaim forgiveness. That they alone had the power to understand the Word of God. And so when Martin Luther would come to the Word of God, it was in a language that the regular people couldn't understand. It was in Latin. The people spoke German or French or English, wherever it was that they lived. And in this world, Martin Luther learned not to love God, but, as he said, to hate God. That was something he learned. And in his work with Staupitz, that good teacher, he was able to embark on a journey where eventually he could see those bad teachers for what they are. And that cycle that perpetuated itself, to make a stand, to say, "Here I stand," and to say the cycle of trauma has to stop. That the ways of teaching one another, bringing each other down, need to get scraped off, need to get burned away, need to change. And as he endeavored to let go of his guilt and love God, he found a resource for that, going back to the originator, going back to the Word. Jesus Christ, who in the Gospel of John is the Word of God, the Word made flesh and who comes and lives among us, full of grace and truth and light. Jesus Christ is the one who proclaims to his disciples, if you continue in my word, if you continue in me, if you take me as your teacher, then you will be free indeed. This truth will make you free. And what is that truth? I am the truth, Jesus says. And so as Luther would confront those demons that would tell him that he is less than, he would find in the scriptures a teacher who would say that he is worth everything and valuable beyond imagination. He would find Jesus Christ, who would speak in this word of scripture. And as a gift, Martin Luther would endeavor to dedicate the rest of his life to sharing that word, that word of Christ, with as many people as he could. He would endeavor to translate the scriptures into a language that people could read so that they too could go and see this Christ and meet this Christ firsthand and hear those words of Christ in their own tongue, to understand them from their own homes, so that they too could hear those words spoken for them. If you continue in my word, then you will be made free. The word of Jesus. Luther would endeavor to speak this word, to hold on to this word, and to say that this word of gospel, this word of truth, is the key that unlocks all of the teachings that bring life. It's the one word on which every other word depends. It's the one word which, if we continue in, will release us. It's that one word that if we can hear it, we will know our value and our worth. It's the word of Jesus Christ, who says that I have come not to condemn the world, but to love the world, to save it, to free it, not in response to the works that you do, but as an act of freely given grace. Grace that needs no payment up front. Grace for which no coin can buy. Grace which no amount of works can deserve. And yet grace which is given and offered to all. It's a grace that cannot be hoarded, that cannot be kept away from others. It is a grace that fills us up, that overfills us and spills out into the world. And if we can hear that word, if we can truly understand that grace, then we will know the teacher's power, the power of the one who they called rabbi, teacher, the power of the one who would come to this world in love. And the power of that teacher's love, the Reformation continues. As again and again, that word stands up against all the bad teachers of the world, all the ways that our culture sort of adds to itself and becomes something foreign to God, tears us away from God and draws our eyes elsewhere, tears us apart, tears us down. But in this teacher's power, in this teacher's word, we are reminded and set free. Reminded of love and set free in grace forever. Let us continue in the power of that teacher's word today. Amen.